We'd like to congratulate the winner of our last drawing, which was Alisa. Congratulations. If you'd like to learn how to enter our next drawing, follow us at SimpsonsSibs on Twitter.
Get groceries delivered to your door in as fast as an hour with Instacart. They handpick fresh groceries from your local store and let you shop multiple stores in a single order. Use our link to get free delivery on your first order over $35. Just visit cart.simpsonsiblings.com or check out the link in the description.
Hey guys, this is Sari.
And this is Sean.
And we're the Simpsons Siblings. You might remember us from such podcast episodes as A Fish Called Selma.
And Dumbbell Indemnity.
And as you may be able to tell from our intro, we are covering Troy McClure today. Ooh. We're excited because this is our first episode that isn't about a specific episode. It's about a character. And so we're a little nervous.
But I think it's a good first character to dive into.
Yeah, because he's not, I mean, I think if we jumped in, we're like, let's talk about Homer.
Like, we'd have to analyze every episode that Homer was in.
Yes. So I think this is a good starting out point. And yeah, let's just get right into it. So, hey, it's Troy McClure. You may remember him from the 41 episodes of The Simpsons, including A Fish Called Selma and The Simpsons 138th episode Spectacular. Troy was a really special kind of Simpsons side character, one that was immediately memorable, perfectly tied to his voice actor, Phil Hartman. And though he didn't have a lot of starring roles in episodes, he is a fan favorite to many. As of his late great voice actor, Phil Hartman, we're not going to be talking about how he died, but instead how he continues to live through this memorable character of his. We miss him through his voice and his comedy, and this episode's going out to you, Phil.
Well said.
Thank you. Troy first appeared in the season 2 episode Homer vs. Lisa and the Eighth Commandment, and made his final voiced appearance in season 10's Bart the Mother. The concept behind his character is he's a has-been actor that now primarily appears in infomercials and educational films. You might remember me is the line that went down in history with his character and is also the name of the biography written about Phil Hartman. He's just sort of the actor that you see in everything, but you can't quite put your finger on where you've seen him from. Like certain actors, you see him in a TV show, but it's always a side part, but yet they show up in so many different shows. And I feel like that's what he's supposed to be.
The way I think about it is kind of how us growing up, there might be someone who does a cameo that they're like, oh, here's this actor. And we know that actor as just a side person that's thrown in. Mm-hmm. Whereas a generation before us knew him as like a mainstream actor.
Yeah, that's true.
So he may have already had his big time in the sun and now he's just filling small roles.
Like it's mentioned in A Fish Called Selma that he was a has-been 70s actor from the 1970s. So from the point of view of the 90s, the kids might not know what this guy's been in, but the adults definitely do.
He has that certain way about him that, you know, he has that constant smile, even when things are going rough. He dives so much into the roles that are assigned for him, even if it's selling a junk product. He gets so invested. He wants to push it so much. Like there's one of the products where he does like that, like, big old face slap.
You can actually hear it too. It's like pop.
Yeah. And you know, he's passionate about what he does, even if it's something stupid. And like we said with his You May Remember line, like that just adds that there's like just this familiarity with him. He's a household name. He just fits in naturally with being in the Simpsons world, even if he's no longer a mainstream character.
Yeah, for sure. So piggybacking off of that, really, Troy's ability to sell is he's almost like the best used car salesman you'd ever see. Like you're in the mood for a new car sort of thing. And some of his first appearances were on I Can't Believe They Invented It, which was an infomercial where he tries to sell obviously horrible products like the juice loosener. And he always sells them with a smile and an a way that always convinces Homer to buy them. And one thing I love about these segments, they were always my favorite as a kid. And I think it's because there seemed to have been so many infomercials in the 90s, especially kids' products. And you're seeing a lot of them, not just infomercials, but just those as seen on TV type products. And I think a lot of them are sort of circulating the internet a bit more now. And one that we were just talking about a couple weeks ago was Marvin's Magic Drawing Board.
Yes.
Which, if you were a kid in the 90s in the US, you got to look up that commercial, because it'll, even if the name doesn't like ring a chord with you, you will recognize it. And they were just such a big part of TV culture back then that I think Troy McClure really kind of taps at that.
I don't know what it is with those, but they're just like burned into your memory. Like,
yeah,
you sent me that link and I immediately remembered the part where the person twists the thing and makes a little
bow tie. That was always my favorite part too. Like,
and
how
that was
did he do
so
that?
Long ago since I've seen that, but
yeah,
how, why is that in my brain?
It's because we probably just saw it so many times. Yeah, too. Yeah.
And that's what Troy does. He just comes on with that smile. He's either oblivious that these products are junk, or he knows and he doesn't care, because he has, like, his smile that I talked about before, it's kind of an empty smile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, that's his natural state. So if he's always smiling, it's kind of meaningless.
Yep.
Like, there's no range in his emotion. He's just always pushing what's in front of him. He's talking, he's selling what's been plopped in front of him.
Yep. A little interesting tidbit, his actual first appearance was in Bart's Dog Gets an F in season 2, but he's voiced by Dan Castellaneta here, but not Hartman.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because they probably could have very easily replaced him with Dan Castellaneta after Hartman's passing, but they decided not to, as sort of a way to honor him. But it's interesting to think that if Hartman would have been alive and he would have decided to just leave the character, there could have been a future where he would have been voiced by him.
Yeah, I think that was very respectful of the writers and crew to just,
yeah,
you know, not draw a lot of attention to it, but just let it be, let the character rest. And
they did a similar thing with Edna Krabappel when her voice actress passed away many, many seasons later, where they just kind of, they call it retiring the character, which I think is very respectful. Because some of these characters, we tie them to their voice so directly that that's just such a part of them.
And I think, too, since it is tied to their voice, if they substituted someone, even if they were very similar sounding, we would know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely, it would just be unnatural going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now we have some of the little shorts that we can go through. His little, we're starting out with the promotional films and just sort of going through these. And we're going to start out with Spiffy,
which is a product everybody needs.
Oh, yeah. Everybody needs it. I'm going to point out just randomly some of my favorite You Might Remember Me's in some of this. Troy McClure's Summertime Smile Factory. Oh, boy. It just gets you smiling just hearing it. Well, I mean, it's a smile factory, so it makes sense. It's interesting that at the beginning, Troy McClure was so synonymous with Dr. Nick. Like, they were kind of a pair for a while, and then they just never showed up together again.
Yeah, but they both kind of have that salesman slimy attitude.
Yeah, for sure. And I love that the idea of Edgar Allan Poe's grave being so dirty is a problem.
It is. Have you seen it lately?
I love the line, "So what? I guess we're going to have to throw it away." Like, okay.
Well, you know, for $39.95, you can get a bottle that cleans 1,000 tombstones.
Oh, wow. The price haggling here is perfect. I love Dr. Nick's voice, how it changes in pitch when he goes, "How can I go any lower than $39.95? Oh, my goodness.
Throw in a State of Kansas Jell-O mold.
Yeah, I wrote that down, too. I never caught that either. I've seen that one so many times because it's from one of my favorite episodes. And I've seen it so many times, but I never caught the Jell-O mold thing.
Yeah.
It's just so random. Why would you want that? And how Homer just completely flips out trying to dial those numbers. Like, he cannot dial them fast enough. So next we've got the juice loosener. And the intro to this one is reminding me that I need to get a new chandelier for my car. I need to replace.
Was it the Cardelier?
Cardelier. My God. And okay, here we go. Another of my favorite remember me froms is the president's neck is missing. How does that happen?
Well, it's missing. We don't know what happened.
Yeah, we don't know.
But then we have, for the juice loosener, we see Troy crushing the orange on his face. And we think, this is so ridiculous. Who does this? And then it cuts to Homer doing the exact same thing.
I love it so much. And he's so serious about it, too. Like, oh, don't you just struggle with this all the time? And Homer going, you mean there's a better way?
Those good old commercials with, like, someone trying to, put a cup on the counter and it falls and the screen goes black and white. And
yep. Oh, yeah. It always goes to black and white. Oh, man. I love this line, too. Do you want to pay those outrageous grocery store prices for something the farmer probably spit in?
There's going to be a lot of laughter in this episode.
Oh, my God.
And then when they pour that whole bag of oranges and, like, two drops come out, you got all that from one bag of oranges?
I love how he so believes in his products, even though they are obviously terrible, and Homer just falls for it every time. Yeah. Is it even on? It's Whisper Quiet. Oh, my God. He is just so tied to his products. He is so confident in it to a fault.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Just the fact that you have to yell. Well, it's Dr. Nick at this point, but yelling that it's quiet.
It's Whisper Quiet.
Can't cover up that evidence.
Nope. And we've got kind of a shorter one where he's selling the itchy and scratchy cell, and it's now on the Impulse Buying Network.
Yes.
And that's sort of a quick one. I don't have too much on that one, but it is nice to see him pop up again. And then we've got Rancho Relaxo. And it's sort of an informational film made for the Rancho Relaxo health spa that Marge is at. And I love the part where he's introducing the movies and yes. Then the sort of nasally guy that says...
Well, first he says the best rated R movies that Europe has to offer. He does that little kiss thing.
Chef kiss. Oh, my God.
And then we go from the epic voice of Troy McClure to... Okay, where was it? Happy Little Elves Meet Snuggle Duck. Thelma and Louise. And the Erotic Awakening of S.
Oh, my God. Oh, it was just fantastic.
Which later in that episode, because I just kind of bounced around when I was watching it, Marge is in the bathtub and she's watching Thelma and Louise
on
the TV.
I remember that. Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm all about that overdramatic ending where it's like you just see his face in the background, but then he just happens to be on a hang glider. And then he just kind of descends into the sunset.
It's a very high production value for just a hotel.
Oh, yeah. Video. Yeah. Very, very high production. And then we've got the Simpsons 138th episode Spectacular, which is another one where we sort of see him front and center. And it's interesting that he's sort of a meta character here, where he exists outside the show.
But yet his personality and everything remains the same.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the theory that Simpsons is staged, well, I mean, it's a cartoon, but
yeah,
you know, in that theoretical world where they're all actors on the stage,
mm-hmm.
Troy is still Troy.
He plays himself on the show The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I love that kind of crap.
I would kind of liken it to if Zap Brannigan from Futurama were to mm-hmm. be an actor himself show, he would be just like himself as an actor.
Oh, yeah. He was supposed to be originally voiced by Phil Hartman.
Right.
Yeah. And that's where they got the name for Philip J. Fry. He's named after as a tribute to Phil Hartman.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. They were originally going to name him. I can't even remember what else they were going to name him, but they named him Philip J. Fry after Phil Hartman. And I think whoever does Zap Brannigan's voice sort of does it as a pseudo impression of Phil Hartman, who was originally supposed to voice him.
But one thing, if he's kind of the same on stage with quotes versus mm-hmm. leading that episode Spectacular, he really seems like he doesn't want to be there.
I know.
Like he, as soon as they cut to commercial break, he steps off the side and starts smoking.
Yeah.
Does a sigh of relief. And that's kind of sad for Troy McClure because,
yeah.
you know, maybe he does know that he's pushing junk and he's just a yeah. low-rate actor now.
But yet we don't see that in A Fish Called Selma as much.
That's true. Yeah.
Unless something changed during that. I'm trying to remember which one came first, 138th episode or A Fish Called Selma. So I looked it up real quick, and A Fish Called Selma came after 138th episode.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's a different side of Troy that they don't show in that episode, or if we're way overthinking this, or maybe Troy, so we're seeing the real Troy McClure, but The Fish Called Selma is Troy McClure playing the character Troy McClure in the episode Fish Called Selma.
Wow. That's
and deep. So when we see him behind the scenes of The Spectacular, that's actual Troy McClure.
Yeah. Okay. I can understand that. Yeah, like you said, we may be putting more thought into analyzing than they did.
Oh,
writing,
yeah.
But
well, whenever they make it, whenever they make a mistake like that, a wizard did it. Oh, and then, of course, we get the absolutely fantastic line at the end of that episode. And now what you all came here to see, hardcore nudity. And then it's just scenes of butts through the whole like credits. Oh, the delivery of that line is absolutely perfect. I love it. He's also hosted the Simpsons spinoff showcase, but he's not quite as prominent in that one.
Yeah, he's just maybe has a couple minutes total in that.
He's just kind of playing the role of host, and there's a lot more that they cut to in that one. The 138th episode Spectacular is more him talking about things, but the spinoff one, he introduces something and then he just cuts to it.
Yeah. There was that whole awkwardness where he's walking along and hits that dead end on the stage.
Oh, my God.
And then the sad line where he's talking about the fans of The Simpsons, if any.
Oh,
Troy, we're fans of you.
Troy also hosted a slew of educational films for most of his character's run. They were usually shown during class at Springfield Elementary, often on an old film projector or during a mandatory issue like Homer's traffic school course and things like that. So we'll start out with Someone's in the Kitchen with DNA.
Very catchy.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. I love how he goes into that room that he's not supposed to be in and like an alarm goes off.
He takes his hood off.
and he's still so happy about it. He just doesn't even really know it.
Yeah. And just like his reaction when Billy shows up, but he's like, what the?
What the?
Oh, hi, Billy.
Oh, my God.
Well, and, you know, this short film finally explains to me why Chinese people have Chinese children.
I mean, yeah. I mean, why? Oh, man. And possibly one of my, I keep saying my favorite Troy moment, but there's so many favorite moments. But Mr. McClure, what does DNA stand for? And he like looks at the camera for like a split second and then it ends.
Like they didn't even try to fill it or edit or correct it. It's just done.
And it's just, and it's explained so little as well. It's just very blanket information on DNA. It's, oh my goodness. Moving on, we've got the DUI video, which is a little short. And what was it, a DUI video or was it just car crashes?
I think it was just about car crashes, but okay. It was because Homer got the DUI.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm thinking then.
But I love the opening when he's just sad, like sad and depressed and sad, like upset that all these people got hurt. And then he looks at the camera. Hi, I'm Troy McClure.
It's like on a dime. He just switches. But
yeah, I mean, I know we kind of have the YouTube compilations now of all like the car crashes and stuff. But
yeah,
based on this scene, I feel like they were showing a bit more than
those. Oh, my God. And he also says it's like 60 minutes long or something. Yeah. Like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Homer's just laughing.
Oh, my God. Then we've got Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You Know What. And he's got that snappy 70s outfit in that one.
I know, like the bell-bottom jeans. Like even for this being an old film, it's old to the kids too.
Yeah. I love how he says, I'm going to present this in a frank and straightforward manner. Immediately cut to Fuzzy Bunny's Guide to You Know What. Like, how is that frank and straightforward?
These poor kids.
Yep.
Having to watch this animation of
learning
you know what.
Yep. Yep. And the two kids that have to get sent out to pray for their souls.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And then the closing of, now that you know how it's done, don't do it.
My God. All right. Next, we've got Shoplifters Beware. And I love the line, thereby completing my plea bargain with the good people at Foot Locker of Beverly Hills. Like, what happened there?
And we have one of the, you may remember me from such films as Designated Drivers, the Life-Saving Nerds.
Mm-hmm. Is that also one with the tornado alarms, fake tornado alarms reduce readiness?
Yes.
Or faulty tornado alarms? Oh, my God. I love how so many of his quotes, you have to think a step further to figure out what they're really talking about. Yeah. You know, like the whole faulty tornado alarms reduce readiness, you got to kind of analyze it a little bit more. The whole plea bargain with the good people at Foot Locker, you got to think about what happened at Foot Locker. You're just picturing him like shoplifting something and trying to picture that in your head, but letting you do the picturing.
What would be really fun is to get all these original writers in a room.
Mm-hmm.
And have them write out scripts for these other movies that he mentions.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
And maybe just do them for writing. That way, you know, we can just imagine.
Do it as a novel. Yeah. I'd read a Simpsons novel about Troy McClure.
A bunch of short stories all based on his films that he's mentioned.
Man.
That would sell.
Oh man, I'd be buying all the copies.
Simpsons writers, if you're listening.
Are you listening? Hey, Josh Weinstein responded to some of my tweets.
Which is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh Weinstein. That is one of my few brushes with some sort of famous people. Also, I don't know why it's necessary for him to show the history of shoplifting. I don't know how that's supposed to deter anyone from shoplifting.
Yeah, and the security guard cuts the video shortly after. It's junk.
Yeah. All right, next we've got Meet and You, Partners in Freedom.
I love this one.
This is his longest one too. I kind of measured some of them. It's his longest one.
Now I caught something in true fashion of researching these that I didn't mm-hmm. catch before. Mm-hmm. The title screen at the bottom. Did you see what's there?
No.
It's part of the Resistance is Useless series.
Oh, wow.
Kind of ominous for a meatpacking video.
And if I remember the episode too, is this the one with the independent thought alarm?
I think so.
Yeah, because when Lisa wants to become a vegetarian, and when she starts asking things, they push the independent thought alarm. Oh my God. Taking a stroll in cattle country, and he's just walking on top of all the cows.
And then we get the, hello, Bobby. Jimmy.
It's just Jimmy. That's the other thing too. All these kids in these videos, it's always a little kid, and it's always a really generic name that ends with a Y.
Yep.
Bovine University, the killing floor, but it's not really a floor.
It's more like a steel grating that lets parts sleuth through.
My God. That's the part of that he was upset about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But and then we also have the high density feedlot,
mm-hmm.
which is just sad. High density. Like. But that's how you can walk across them.
Oh, yeah. That's how you take a stroll through cattle country. And just ask this scientist. And then it switches.
Yeah, obviously your friend's never heard of the food chain.
And everything's like going towards the human. Oh, my God.
There's like an eagle on there.
Yeah. Oh, man. So many perfect moments.
Well, that line that leads up to it. What was it? I've got this crazy friend that doesn't eat meat. Is he crazy?
No, he's not crazy, just ignorant. What your crazy friend means is
so judgmental.
Oh my God. And again, he's trying to sell whatever they want him to sell. If he's told to say this, he's gonna say this. Yeah. And just his delivery is absolutely perfect.
It's brutal for any non-meat eaters out there.
Yes. Oh man.
But you have to remember that if a cow had a chance to, he'd eat everyone, you and everyone you care about.
God. And then it just zooms in on the cow's face. Oh, man. All right. Moving on to adjusting your self-o-stat. This is one that I didn't really see a lot because I don't really like the episode that it's in. I actually remember that episode specifically. But it was interesting to kind of go back to this one. He says, I will introduce the man who will put the U in improvement.
It's so forced.
Yes. That's how you make a good pun. You got to force it. This circle is you. My God, it's like you've known me all of my life.
And then we have the bit with Regional Geographic.
Mm-hmm.
Not another magazine by a similar name.
Oh, my God. Is that part of the birds one?
Yeah. Birds are fine-feathered colleagues.
Yes. And this is actually the last one that aired chronologically, because this is from Bart the Mother. And I love Man versus Nature, the Road to Victory. which kind of piggybacks off of the meat one too, and for some reason the set of steel tongs that he uses to pick up the bird, it's just so casual how he does it.
And that poor bird just being lifted, and he sounds so sad. Aww. She sounds so sad.
Aww.
Now, one thing that I noticed is when he's talking about in nature, the mother regurgitates the food, and you know Bart's taking down all these notes. Bart's notebook for how to take care of the bird. Says 75 watt bulb, regurgitate food, and then Billy.
He's got to go find a kid named Billy to help him out.
Billy is the crucial step to taking care of a bird.
Yeah, it is. So the last one we have is the half aid approach to foundation and repair, fill in the blank. And he says such complicated instructions without absolutely any explanation.
And it slowly escalates. Well, not slowly, but, you know, the first step's simple, and then it builds up.
And one of the steps is literally just install.
Yeah.
He just goes, install. And Homer's just like, wait.
Well, and it's full of the do's and do not do's, which reminded me of from the training manual from Bart had for the scouts. Don't do what Donnie don't does.
Yes. Don't do what Donnie don't does. And Phil Hartman's smooth performance here of such long-winded terminology, like extruded polyvinyl foam insulation. But he says it so quickly and so smoothly.
And then Homer barely has a chance to answer. Good. Assemble the aluminum jade channel using self-fitting screws.
Oh, man.
I felt inspired to write that down.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Troy's spotlight episode, which is A Fish Called Selma, which we did an entire episode on. This episode is the one that was previous to this one. And this was McClure's first and perhaps only character-centered episode in the series. And he's obviously with Selma for his own selfish purposes. He goes and marries Marge's sister, Selma, pretty much to show people that he's just a regular guy and he's not attracted to fish for some reason. And he's married her for his own selfish purposes, but in a weird way, he also kind of understands her. And he gives her so much of what she needs, like reassurance and confidence, but he doesn't give her everything she needs. And he's just self-serving enough to not seem like a complete jerk. And in the end of the episode, you kind of feel bad for him, but not too bad. I don't know. Yeah. It's a weird little balance they have with his character.
Yeah, that episode really, I don't know, kind of made him more real in the world, The Simpsons. Like we mentioned before, he was a big actor before. Now he's just filling these small roles, being on infomercials. But this is what let us see like the real Troy McClure when he's not in front of the camera, which a lot of him is still the same. He's still got that voice, that attitude, but you know, even though he has a ton of awful flaws, he's still a person. And he's, you know, someone who now he has a direct connection with the characters, the Simpsons and the family.
Yeah.
Like he's had that interaction. He got to go drink at the bar with Homer. Like he's just that much more real to us as viewers. But also now he's connected directly with the family.
Yeah.
And that's what I got out of that episode was that it brought him from a side character. It kind of brought him more into the main light of the series.
Yeah, for sure. The interesting thing is, too, is even though he's sort of part of their story here, he doesn't interact with them a whole lot. Like, he has these moments in the locations and sort of influencing their lives. But other than telling his secret to Homer and a bit of a conversation with Lisa in the pool, he doesn't interact too much with the people, which kind of shows his form as a celebrity in the public, where he doesn't even really interact with these people too much. It's more that he's at the setting and he's going to different restaurants. He's interacting with different people. So it's almost this different version of Springfield that we're seeing through him. Sort of the more high class version of Springfield in a way.
Yeah, we see some scenes that, you know, the main family and main characters would almost never go.
Yeah. And so we are kind of seeing a different side to Springfield here. And he really interacts mostly with Selma in this episode, as well as Jeff Goldblum's character, who was written for the episode. So it is kind of an interesting idea to have this episode in this sort of bubble, in a way, and have other characters sort of peek in to sort of make those connections.
And I was surprised, you know, we kind of mentioned before how Dr. Nick was so connected with Troy at the beginning. I kind of was surprised that, you know, we didn't really see any Dr. Nick in A Fish Called Selma.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like that would be a good pairing, even if it was just for like one 10-second joke. You know, maybe have Dr. Nick come in and do something and interact with Troy. But I don't know, maybe that could have added a bit more to, you know, not only connecting him with Selma, but also connecting him with Dr. Nick outside of the stage.
Yeah, definitely. I could see that. All right. So the interesting thing at the end of this episode is very much a status quo episode where Troy's sort of left to where he was in the beginning. He has a little bit more of a career again, but he doesn't get that McBain role that he was really seeking. And it's sort of interesting that we see his character sort of grow and then retract back to where he was. And then we literally get to see him again as this guy that just does these short films, that just does these infomercials. We get to see him sort of behind the scenes and then back to where he was in the scenes again.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sad that we never really got to see his character grow anymore, that we never got any other real spotlight episodes, because I feel like we may have seen more of those if they would have kept him in the show. But he's sort of, it's sort of nice that he's left as this side character that we all love, because I feel like he's best utilized as a side character.
Yeah, didn't spoil the character.
Yeah. Sometimes you can know too much about someone, like how their relationship with fish. Maybe that's part of why he is so beloved, is that he was seen just enough, he was experienced just enough, that perfect smile wasn't overdone. It didn't overshine its stardom. I don't know. Maybe that's part of what makes Troy McClure so special.
Yeah. And there's, you know, a bit of a mystery to us as the viewers, because, you know, we won't really know his acting career before, aside from the You May Know Me From. We don't know what those roles looked like. And, you know, that just leaves it up to imagination that we hear some goofy movie that he was in and, you know, every person can interpret it differently and just kind of joke around and wonder, oh, I wonder what that was like.
Yeah, and that's part of the magic.
And that just kind of makes, I don't know, in a way makes it kind of unique for everyone. Gives it, everyone can put their own perspective and spin on it.
It's like the writing takes you 3/4 of the way, but your brain fills in that last quarter. And that's what makes it special and personal to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we did a good job in our first character highlight episode.
Yeah, I think he was a great one to, you know, it's not too overwhelming, but it's a character that everybody knows. And, you know, it's a good way to just respect the character and the actor.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I feel like I've never heard someone say, man, I hate Troy McClure.
Yeah.
You just can't. You can't hate him. Thank you so much for listening to our first character highlight episode. Next episode, we will be covering Simpson Tide, Season 9, Episode 19. So go ahead and watch that episode before you listen to get the full experience. And until then, bye, everybody.